So you'll be sure and want to be here for that study at 5 o'clock. Then everybody, youth choir, 6 o'clock, and all the kids be in the Christmas play. If you're planning on being in the Christmas play, we got to move it, and I ain't kidding you, move it fast. So don't forget that at 6 o'clock this evening. Leviticus chapter 6. As I was praying and planning on the service this morning, this scripture came on my heart and this message that I preached in revival meetings all over the country, but never here at our church. Never preached this here at our church. And I've just been waiting for about 5 years on the right time to do it. And I feel like today is the right time. I want to preach to you this morning on the subject, how to keep the fire burning. Leviticus chapter 6 and verse 12. Leviticus chapter 6, verse 12. And the fire upon the altar shall be burning in it. It shall not be put out. And the priest shall burn wood on it every morning and lay the burnt offering in order upon it. And he shall burn thereon the fat of the peace offerings. The fire shall ever be burning upon the altar. It shall never go out. I don't preach to you on how to keep the fire burning. Most churches that I know anything about this morning, instead of trying to keep a fire burning, are trying to figure out how to get one started. That's an extremely difficult thing to do. But thank God for the fire that we have burning here and have had these many years. And I want to preach to you on how to make this thing last in your life and in our church. How to keep the fire burning. Many Christians get on, and I'm sure you understand the sense that I'm using in, on fire for the Lord. Many Christians get on fire for the Lord and burn out. And don't last long. They cool off and just finally sit way back and finally just completely out. And the fire goes out in their life. What would you do this morning to keep the fire burning? Three things I want to say quickly this morning. Number one, I'm going to talk a little bit about the wind that starts the fire. Now, nothing make a fire burn like wind blowing on it. Matter of fact, a fire can't even burn without some circulation of some air. It'll catch it up. It makes it burn. Here, several years ago, I had done a little remodeling down at my house, you know, and I had my yard reworked. And when I had my yard reworked, we had to cut down some trees. And this was about 1988, I believe it was, here in that late fall, summer of that year. And I wound up with a great big brush pile. I had this great big brush pile out there on the side of the house. And that thing was probably, at least 15 feet high, about as far as this off the floor here. And as big maybe as 20 feet square around it, something like that. And had a bunch of stuff going on, and I was busy. And Brother J.D. over there, he's over at the house, and he said, "You want me to burn that wood pile for you, that brush pile?" And I said, "Sure, I'd appreciate that." He said, "Well, you throw some old tires on there or something, and I'll come over here in the morning, and I'll burn it." And I said, "All right." Now I said, "J.D., I got to be gone in the morning. Now don't you let that fire get out and get up through these woods here, because I done caught the woods on fire, I think, the summer before that, and had to have a fire department over there to put it out." And I said, I don't want it happening no more. I said, you get that burning. He said, "Don't worry about it. I'll watch it." I said, "You watch it till it goes out." Well, I even made double sure that fire didn't get out. I took a rake. I went all the way around that pile of wood, and I raked me out a little path about that wide, all the way around it. So when the fire burnt down them leaves, it couldn't get over there, you know, and go up through the woods. And I thought, well, I feel good about it now since I've raked. So the next morning, bright and early, sure enough, he's out there. I had that fire started good, and I had to go off somewhere. I think I had to go to Morgan or Hickory or hospital somewhere or something. And I said, "I'll be back after a while." He said, "Don't you worry about it, Brother Danny. I'll take care of it." Boy, it was burning pretty. I went off that evening. I came back about 1 o'clock, and sure enough, it had burnt down there, and J.D.'s already gone. It just burned into a little pile of ashes, just a little smoke, all it was coming up out of there. Well, I said, "Hallelujah, that old pile of junk is gone out of my yard there." And so I had to preach that night, to teach that night up here, I believe. And so I went and laid down and took a nap so I could study. I always lay down and take a nap during the afternoon be awake to study, to preach at night. So I laid down about 2 o'clock and slept for a little while. And it was early in the late that time of year, and that the wind began to whip. And while I was laying down, the wind started blowing and got up a little bit. It's dead still that morning. Boy, it started whipping up that holler up through there, coming around through there. I woke up, I kind of yawned a little bit, and went to the bathroom and looked out the window. I noticed there's a lot of smoke out beside my house out there. I said, my soul, where's all that little old bitty smoke pile down there? Sure is smoking a lot. I know it'd burn up. So I went downstairs, went to the back window, got these double glass windows there in the kitchen, and I looked out there. I thought, Lord have mercy. I mean, oh, you couldn't see nothing. It's all smoke. I walked out, went out on the deck, and sure enough, that wind had come up through there. It had blowed up. Somehow another got that thing kindled up again. It had blowed a leaf across that little thing I raked out. It got over there somehow. I don't know how it done it, but it blowed up through there, and fire was going way up through the woods. Well, I run and got the water hose. I think I had a 100-foot water hose. I had another, and I hooked it onto it right quick. I looked over there, and that wind go, that fire go up through there, and it had already spread out about the width of this choir here. And so I went over there. I was about standing over where that door is. I got the water hose. I turned it on full blast. I pointed at it like that, and it went pew. Just like that. It didn't reach halfway over there. I said, this ain't going to work. And my mom was in the house, and I hollered, Mom, call the fire department. The woods is on fire. Get them over here. I said, oh, no. And boy, it started going up through there. First thing you know, just a few minutes, it went along. The truck started coming in the driveway. They brought one of them old things like a bulldozer. That bulldozer started going around there digging, you know, cutting a trench. By the time they got it out, 4 or 5 o'clock that evening, 7 acres up through the woods had done burned, and boy, they was mad. I went upstairs. I had to study. I'd go to church at night. They said, who started this fire? I said, J.D. Ward did. I said, I wasn't even here. Man come over here and tried to burn my house down. I think they gave him a warning ticket or something like that, didn't they, J.D.? Something like that. They was hunting you anyway. But I mean, I know I hated to tell him to do that, but I mean, I'm a preacher and I've got to watch my testimony. I said, I'm sorry, this happened. I said, it got down, we thought it was out. Then the wind blowed it, and it got over, and it went up through the woods. But I said that, say this morning, brother, there ain't nothing will make a fire burn like wind. And what we need in our churches this morning, you know as well as I do, we need that wind of God, that breath comes through. Well, I seen it the other night when it really got on in here. You know, the wind, when it's blowing, the wind don't blow just a steady push. It comes, and then it'll go, and then it'll go, and then it'll go, it does, that's the same way it did in here this past week. You'd see a little puff come through and it'd go, whoo, you know, and that fire just blaze up like that. A few minutes more, another puff would come through. We see that all the way through the Bible. Adam, when God made him over there in the book of Genesis, Adam was stretched out there. He was a man. He had hands, fingers, eyes, lips, toes, tongue, all that kind of stuff. But Adam had no life. And Adam had no breath. And the Bible said that God reached down and he put his breath on there and he went, and he breathed that breath on Adam, and fire burned inside him. Adam's eyes woke. He popped up and looked around and said, wow, it's great to be alive. That's what churches need. That's what Sunday school classes need. They need that breath. That breath of God. I'm telling you something this morning, church. We've never had better facilities than the church has had in 2,000 years. We've never had nicer lights, carpet, money in the bank. We've never had better. We've never had all that stuff. But that ain't what makes a church and a fire burn this morning. It's when that breath from God breathes through here. Brother, that'll make the fire burn. Over there in the book of Ezekiel, he had a tough job. And Ezekiel's job was, he was the pastor of the first church of the Valley of Dry Bones. And buddy, he had his work cut out for him, I ain't kidding you. He got out there and just a bunch of old dead bones. Oh, Ezekiel could come out there and he would say, well, it's good to be here. If you're glad you're here, say amen. Nobody would say a word. Just like some of you sitting in here this morning. If I say amen, you do like this. If I say something funny, you do like this. If something like good happens, you do like this. I mean, you know what's wrong with you? You're dead. The fire's gone out. And brother, Ezekiel come out there and said, anybody got a word on your heart? Hey, you guess what, folks? We're going to have Brother So-and-so come in here and preach this week. Hallelujah. What about that? They just laid there. Finally, he went to the Lord and he said, Lord, what in the world am I supposed to do? They don't say amen. They don't laugh. They don't cry. They don't do nothing. God, what am I going to do with them? And the Lord said, preach. And he said, well, what about a seminar? And the Lord said, no, preach. He said, what if I get a famous singing group? And the Lord said, no, you just get over here, get right with me, get the fire burning in your heart, and get out there and preach. And you know what happened? Oh, Ezekiel prayed. He said, all right, Lord, I believe you give me the message. He went out there, rolled open his little old scroll, and he got out there and he said, all right, hi, you bunch of dry bones. He said, I'm sick of the way you're laying around here. And the Lord God in heaven's come. Boy, I mean, he started hacking at him. I mean, brother, he started spitting and a slobbering and a carrying on. And about that time, God up in heaven got a blessing. And the Lord said, preach it, son. And boy, the Lord, he kept going there. And about 5 minutes later, the Lord said, amen. And about 5 minutes later, oh, Ezekiel kept preaching so good that God up in heaven took a shouting spell. And the Lord reached over the banisters of glory and said, hallelujah. And he made that wind come down. That wind come down from heaven, blowed across that crowd. And boy, all of a sudden, them bones started a shaking like that and started moving. Brother, God blowed from heaven. And you know what happened? He said, come sing a song. They said, the foot bone connected to the ankle bone connected to the hip bone connected. Now hear the word of the Lord. And the Bible said they stood up an exceeding great army. God made an army out of that crowd when the wind blew on them. You know what we need in our church? You know what every church needs? We need to, I believe it's James Stewart, one of them guys, wrote one of them books, said, come, O breath. Breath, breath, breathe on me, breathe on me. Well, I built fire last night. You know, he's putting up Christmas decorations and everything, and the kids are so excited. I built a fire in the fireplace. And boy, you know what? I got them, finally got that thing blowing, going. I took all this message, all I could think about. I took that little thing like you do like this, and boy, I used to think them things didn't do no good. But they do. I went, and it got real red. It looked like you blowed it out. But as soon as that air come off of it, that flame jumped up about 3 times higher. I hope that's what God's done for us. I hope that flame burned 3 times higher than it ever have. Amen. Well, that's what God did to Ezekiel. On the day of Pentecost, you see the same thing. The day of Pentecost, they were gathered in the upper room praying, right? And brother, they were up there praying. They were scared of them Jews. They were afraid to go out and stand up for God. That's what's wrong with a lot of Christians. They were scared. And boy, they got up there in that upper room. And the Bible said when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were gathered together in one accord, you know, up there, the 120. And there came a sound from heaven as a what? Rushing mighty wind. That same wind that blew over on Ezekiel's bones, that same wind that blew in Adam, that same wind come in there on the day of Pentecost, tongues of fire set on their head. Them guys got on fire for God. They come out of that place. They were scared of them Jews before that. By the time that wind hit them, that fire was burning so much, it made fire burn on their heads. And they come out and jumped up on car hoods and brought out everything else and said, all right, you've took him and slain him by a wicked hand. Brother, you know what'll transform a little timid, backward, shy young man into a bold, preaching maniac for God? It's when that wind blows on him. Hey, brother, when that wind blows, you don't care who hears you. You don't care who sees you. Brother, you just got something burning down on the inside. Wind that starts the fire. Secondly, I'm going to talk about the water that stops the fire. There ain't nothing that'll make a fire burn like wind. Secondly, there ain't nothing that'll put one out like water. Now the devil this morning has his brigade. And we all know that the devil can only be at one place at a time. The devil's not omnipresent like God is. He can only be one place at a time. But we know this, the devil's got his demons that do his work. And according to the Bible, every area has a certain demon that's in charge of that area. For example, there may be
a certain demon head over a bunch of little demons that is in charge of McDowell County. And the devil, every once in a while, he meets with this demon and reports to him. He said, anything going on down there in Marion? Not much. Anything happening in Old Fort? Nah, not speak up. Anything going on down there in Nebo? Ah, little flurries here and there. How about down in Glenwood? About the same. Hey, ain't much going on. But every time one of them churches in Nebo, every time one of them churches in Old Fort, North Cove, PG, Dyersville, wherever, every time God starts moving, that guy's job is to put that fire out. And he flies over these churches on Sunday morning looking for fire. And when God starts moving in a church, that demon, one of them little demons says, hey, something happened down there at New Manna. It's broke out again. I just went to sleep for a little while and took a nap. And when I woke up, that thing had done burned all over the place. And the devil says, put it out. I want to tell you what this morning, the devil's job this morning is to put the fire out in my heart, put it out in your heart. He'd love to snuff this church out. He'd love to pour water on this church here and put the fire out. But don't let him use you to do it. You know what he does? He's got these big 5-gallon buckets and he flows over and he looks. Oh, that boy thinks he's called to preach, huh? I'll get me something for him. He's loading up for you right now, Jonathan. You don't know it, but he's loading up and he's going to follow you around. First chance he gets, he's going to go. That's right. But your fire's got to be burning like it was out there in my yard that day. It got out of control. He couldn't put it out. He's got a bunch of them. He's got one big old bucket, and that big old bucket is called pride. And boy, if he can make you proud, that's where he gets a lot of young preachers sometimes. You get self-righteous. You get to thinking, I know more than everybody. I'm more spiritual than everybody else. And the devil will put your fire out. I've heard people say, I'm the humblest one at our church. I'd hate to see the rest of them. If you're the humblest one, you know the devil will make you proud of how humble you are. Well, I don't ever say anything. I don't ever display my emotions. I'm humble. And you're full of pride over how humble you are. You're full of pride over your humility, right? They said God crowns with glory, but his crown don't fit no swollen head. And I'm telling you what, brother, the devil will make you proud. You ain't proud. He'll dump the water on you right quickly. He's got another one. You know how he puts a fire out in most churches? He's got this great big bucket. And on that bucket it says, gossip. That's what kills a fire in most churches. Now, be honest with me this morning. Have you ever known a liquor store to put a church out of business or make one split? Have you ever heard of a strip joint causing a church to have a split? No, you ain't. Have you ever heard, people say, that old sorry Bill Clinton. Bill Clinton ain't never split a church unless it's his own back in Arkansas. Amen. I know all that stuff's bad, but I'm going to tell you something. I'll tell you what splits churches. When this one starts talking about that one, and that one starts talking about that one, and this one starts talking about that one, and says, well, I don't like her because she's dead, blah, 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 blah. That'll kill a fire in a church quicker than anything I've ever heard of and seen since I've been preaching. That's what the devil wants you to do. He wants you to run your mouth about each other because somebody will tell them what you said. He'll eventually get back to them. Say, now I'm going to tell you something, but don't you tell nobody. And then that person goes and tells somebody, saying, I'm going to tell you this, but you got to promise that you ain't going to tell nobody what I'm getting ready to tell you. We really need to pray about this. Oh, brother. I know what some of you do. You're sitting there judging each other, saying, well, so-and-so ain't right with God. So-and-so ain't as spiritual as I am. So-and-so, you know what you better do? You better not let the devil use you to put the fire out. If somebody ain't right, pray for them. You got 24-hour day job keeping your own self straight with God instead of running your mouth about everybody else. You say, well, they have no right to do what they're doing. Yeah, I know, and it ain't none of your business either. You ain't God. You keep your own life straightened out. God will take care of that brother sitting beside you. Amen. You know, we've had that happen back years ago. We had some people down each other's throats and they were calling each other, trying to straighten each other out because somebody wasn't right. And they said, I'm rebuking each other. And I got up, boy, and I said, I'm like deputy dog. I'll do the preaching around here. And don't you forget it. That's right. That's what the preacher's job is to preach stuff like that out. It's not your job to straighten your brother and sister out. Well, I heard brother so-and-so done this. I'm going to call him and tell him that I don't think, yeah, I know. What if we knew everything you done last week? Amen. You know what we are in here? We're all a bunch of sinners saved by grace. We're all a bunch of no good dogs that ought to be in hell. And they, none of us know better than nobody else. We're just poor and needy sinners needing something from God here this morning. You got no right to run your mouth about everybody else. You know what causes people to lose confidence in people? You know why you can go to another church and get a blessing and a lot of times can't get a blessing in your own church? Because you've done opened your garbage dump up here and let everybody dump. You ladies, you like them big earrings. You ought to make you some big ones about this big and put no dumping and hang them on your ears like that. Amen. This is not a trash dump. I see people say, well, I know this is gossip, but it's true. So what? So what? How about that one lady traded in her vacuum cleaner for a telephone? She could pick up a whole lot more dirt like that. There's a preacher down in Texas named Brother Jack Wood. Jack Wood got up one Sunday morning. He was preaching about gossip and how people hurt the church gossip. And he took out his pocket knife and opened it up. And he went over and started stabbing the wall, just cutting the walls of the church. People were, oh, how can he do that to the house of God? He stopped and said, that ain't nothing to what some of you do with it with your tongue. Amen, brother. Amen. The church ain't the walls and the church ain't the carpet. It's your brother and sister sitting right beside you. You say, well, they're not what they're supposed to be. Everything they're supposed to be, please raise your hand. Please raise your hand if you're what you're supposed to be. And until you are, I suggest, shut up. Shut up, man. Shut up. If they're messed up, pray for them. Maybe you'll get right while you're praying. Amen. Heard about that one preacher. Don't get mad at me. I just heard what he said. His school little boy, his daddy was a preacher. And a lawyer's kid was there and a doctor's kid was there and everybody's bragging. And the lawyer's kid said, buddy, my daddy makes all kinds of money. And he said, my daddy owns a yacht, and we go out on the ocean two or three times a year, and we own property down at the beach. And the doctor kid said, that ain't nothing. We got a cabin up in the mountains, and we got a mansion downtown, and we got this and that. And they was all bragging about how much stuff their daddy owned. And the preacher's little boy, he didn't want to be outdone, so he said, that ain't nothing. My daddy owns hell. They said, you're crazy. He don't do it. He said, he does. My daddy owns hell. They said, you're crazy, man. Your daddy don't own hell. He said, he doesn't. They said, oh, how you figure that? He said, I heard him tell mom and the deacons, give it to him. Don't get mad at me. I'm just telling you what that illustration was. That'll kill the fire in the house of God. Gossip. That's a whole sermon. I ain't got time to get into it. But worldly mindedness. The devil's got a big old bucket. Let me tell you something this morning. Let me tell you something. Listen, I hear preachers preach all the time. And to hear them preach, the only thing that's worldly is long hair or makeup or short dress, something like that. And all that is worldly. But I want to tell you something. There's a whole lot more world than that. Anything that cools your affection for Jesus Christ is this world. You know as well as I know that you can have, hear me, you know as well as I know the fire can be burning in your life. You can get right with God, and boy, then you can watch a movie on TV or pop a video in, and by the time that thing's over, the fire's done gone in your life. You get the world's philosophy, you get the world's convictions, you get the world's beliefs, you get the world's religions, it'll put the fire out. Buddy, I tell you what, that stuff will put the fire out in your life as quick as anything I know. It don't take a drink of liquor to put the fire out always. It don't take a drag off a joint to put the fire out in your life. Listen, some of you people here this morning, and I love you, bless your heart. God bless you. Some of you I looked for this week and I didn't see, and it broke my heart. Mine, it hurt. It hurt. I was sick to my stomach. Because I love you. Don't you ever think that I don't. I want to tell you what this morning, some of you have got habits, your music, the places you go, the shows you watch on TV, the movies you see or something like that, that absolutely has put the fire out in your life. You're not out committing adultery. You're not out getting drunk on Friday night. But the devil is using those things, that world, to put that fire out in your life. And that fire is never going to burn till you get that stuff cleaned out. And one of these days, you'll wish to God you had it and not wasted your life on the things of this world. Amen. And I love you, and I mean that when I tell you that.
Amen. Amen.
You say, well, now I figured you was going to fuss at us for not being here. There ain't no use in that because it's over with.
Right. Yeah. Right.
But I will say this, and I'm going to move on. I'm going to say this as serious as anything I've ever said in my life. When you got something going on like we had this week, people live 15, 20 minutes away and won't even come. I'm going to tell you something this morning. I love you. God bless you. I care about you. But I want to tell you something this morning. Something is wrong. Something's wrong. Something is wrong with you spiritually. The devil will put the fire in your life. I've got to talk about temper and cheating God and not tithing, not giving you tithes and offering. That'll put the fire out in your life. You know how most people start backsliding, the fire starts going out. First thing they do is quit paying their tithes. Of course, I ain't no use in preaching that here. Everybody here tithes, don't you? Everybody here give 10% of your income to the church? Okay, no use in preaching. You'll get to eat earlier for that, being good. Number three. Nothing will make a fire burn like wind. Number two, the water that stops a fire. Nothing will put one out like water. Number three, this will be last, the wood that sustains the fire. Number one, I talked about the wind that starts a fire. Number two, the water that stops the fire. Number three, the wood that sustains the fire. You know what he told him, priest? He said, you put wood on it every morning. Every morning, keep it going. Boy, there's one thing I found. I ain't had a fireplace but 5 years. I never had a fireplace before. And I found out something real quick. You've got to keep putting wood on it. The first year, Carissa, she wanted to build a fire. Daddy, let's build a fire. Daddy, let's build a fire. And it didn't get cold away up in the winter. And I mean, we'd open the doors, windows, and everything just to build a fire. So I said, all right, we're going to build a fire. Buddy, I got that thing going real good and going real good. We sit down on the couch. We've got popcorn. And I put my arm around. I said, all right, honey, it's cold outside and we're going to watch the fire. Oh, boy, ain't this fun? You know what I found out? Less than 10 minutes I was having to get up. Go back outside. Get wood. Bring it in there. After you do that a while, you're sweating so much you don't need a fire in the house. How'd you carry in wood for a while? Finally, say, we're burning up. Put the fire out. But boy, I put it on there. Then you got to chunk it, you know, a little bit. I'm gonna tell you what this morning. There's three logs that you got to lay on the fireplace of your soul to keep the fire burning. You want to write these down. I'm going to give them to you right quick. And if you want to keep the fire burning in your life, there's three things that you got to do every day of your life. Every morning. God said, priest, put the fire on, wood on the fire every morning. Number one is the Word of God. If you don't read your Bible every day, the fire is going to go out in your life. You know what some of you people need to do? You need to do like a lot of other folks I've seen. You need to go somewhere and don't take nothing but your Bible and go up in the woods somewhere or get in a closet and begin to read. You know, usually that first chapter, you don't do much for you, does it? That second chapter, you catch 3 or 4 verses. That third chapter, it seems like that, you know, it's getting better. But something happens between about 4, 5, 6, 7. Hello, and that first thing you know, that word just starts jumping out and getting you, and that fire begins to burn in your heart. You can't lay your Bible down when you go home. I've seen some people, every time you see their Bible, the ends of it's curled way up like this. You know what that means? It means they leave it laying in the dash of their car from 1 week to the next. That's right. Oh, hold that down. Don't let him see. Hey, I've seen people's Bible laying in the back glass of their car with dust on it. I can tell you one thing. You ain't going to have no fire burning in your life. The fire goes out where you don't put the wood on it. You're like Jeremiah. Jeremiah was a man who loved God. And old Jeremiah, he got thrown in a dungeon down there and in that pit. And he quit preaching. He gave up. Decided he'd quit the ministry. He had preached for God all them years. He wound up in a pit in the bottom of a well. He got down there and he got mad and got discouraged. He said, I have had it. He said, I'll never preach again. You can get you somebody else, God. And the Lord said, you quitting? He said, yes, I quit. Here's my ordination papers right here. You can have them. I'm out. You can call on somebody else. I've had all this preaching business I can handle. And the Lord said, all right, now, if you quit, you quit. Now, keep your word. He said, don't you worry about me. I'll never preach again. And boy, it wasn't long after that till tide turned a little bit. And old Jeremiah got pulled up out of that well, you know. And old Jeremiah, he got back home and got him a meal or two and took him a shower and everything. He went downtown one day. I can see him walking down the street. I'm glad I'm out of it. Let somebody else. And boy, about that time, he passed his liquor store. And here's this poor old guy coming out of that liquor store like this, you know. And he had that brown bag up against him like this. And he went down the street, a staggering this way. Something kind of fluttered up down in his heart. And he said, I ain't going to say nothing. That's their business. They want to ruin their life. That's their problem. Kept on walking down the street. Wasn't long after that until, boy, he seen these women come down the street and they say, we're pro-choice. He said, well, I know that means pro-death. That lying media, they call us pro-life and they should be called pro-death. But they're a hypocrite and call them pro-choice. And that ERA means he ruined that. I ain't saying nothing. I quit. I'm out of the ministry. Nope. If they want to ruin their life, that's their business. And boy, he had him a time. Wasn't long. Two guys come down the street. Boy, and he come over and one of them said, hiya, big boy. And batted his eye down and went, And boy, the next thing you know, Jeremiah, you know what he said? He jumped up on, he go over here on a parking meter, and boy, there's an old pickup truck sitting there. He climbed up in the back of that thing, and boy, he started hollering, and he said, the Bible says, you better repent, get right with God, you're going to hell. You know what he said later? He said, his word was in my heart as a what? A burning fire. That word of God started burning down in that old boy's heart. And he said, I could not stay. I couldn't hold it back. It was inside me. You pack enough of that word of God in you, it'll keep the fire burning in your life. Thank God there's been a many a time when, brother, I had the fire was burning low in my life. But you know what I'd do? I'd stick in a preaching tape. I'd drive down the road, put that old preaching tape on, boy. And boy, I'd get my Bible out and read it. It wouldn't be long till something would begin to burn inside me. I'd be talking about God. That word will keep the fire burning in your life. I know what some of you people here need to do. You need to go home and get out all your good old preaching tapes and put them on all evening and listen to them. It won't be long. I've done that in motels before. Son, it'll make a fire burn in your life. It's all true. One time, Carissa, when she was just real little, she climbed up in the bed beside me. I was laying there in bed reading my Bible like this. She got up and said, Dad, you reading the Bible? Yeah, honey. She said, I'm going to go get my Bible. She ran downstairs, went in her room. She might give her a little bitty, like those little Bibles, little pink ones, put her name on it or something. She'd come back upstairs. And I noticed about her, she was trying to lay just like I was. She'd fix her pillow like me, you know, and everything. And she held her Bible up. She didn't know if it was upside down or what. I looked over at her and she goes, I said, you got your Bible too. I said, honey, the Bible's true. She said, all of it? Hey, man. I said, yes, the Bible's true. Oh, if I'd have been like a lot of preachers, I'd have had to say, well, honey, except for those few passages that were not translated right. And I can show you a few mistakes here that the original Greek didn't have. I'm glad I didn't have to tell a four-year-old that. Thank God in heaven I can look at my little four-year-old girl and I can say, honey, it's all true. Every story, every book, every altar. I told her. I didn't tell her that loud, but I told her that. Amen. I would jump up in the bed. It's all true, baby doll. It's the word. You get out that old book and throw a log of that on the fireplace of your soul. Every day, it'll keep a fire burning. And then I want to say something else. There's another log. That's the log of worship. You know what you need to do? You need to worship God every day. May I tell you something this morning? Some of you people might not know. You are supposed to worship God somewhere than just church. If you think the only place, you say, well, I'm going over to the church to worship. Now, it's all right to worship in church. You ought to learn how to worship God at home. You ought to learn how to worship God by yourself. Some of the greatest times I've ever had with the Lord was just me and the Lord. That's one way you know you ain't getting your blessing off somebody else. If you got it mowing the grass, son, you got it. If you got it ironing the clothes and washing the dishes, you got it. I mean, God, when's the last time you've been at home and had on a singing tape and God just flooded your soul? And boy, you just start saying, I love you, Lord. I love you. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. How long has it been since that happened to you? Boy, you know what? Hey, you say, well, Brother Danny, it just don't happen to me like that. I'll tell you what to do. Worship Him anyway. It won't be long till it will happen. There ain't nowhere in the Bible where it says only worship God when you feel like it. You worship God because He's God. Next time you get up feeling sorry for yourself and you're bad mood and everything else, just start thanking God for everything He's done. Just start thinking, Lord, You've been good to me. You've let me live here in America where my belly can be filled and I've got a good church to go to. I've got a perfect book I can look at anytime I want. I've got my eyesight. I can walk. I can eat. I can have fellowship. My family's safe. Boy, hey, it won't be long till you'll be going glory. I've seen some things happen here Friday night that I've never seen happen in church. A few minutes Friday night, Lord have mercy. It was a miracle. I never seen them. I was over here when them kids are singing. Next thing I knowed, you know, I was thinking, now, Lord bless the service, you know, and everything. And a few minutes, I forgot we was even having a service. I forgot about it, honest. I couldn't even hear the singing. I couldn't hear it, man. And you had to be deep if you couldn't hear that singing in here the other night. I thought they quit singing one time, and people were shouting so loud. They were shouting so loud, they drowned them out over these speakers. I never seen that many people shouting in one service in my life. And some fella come running around through here. You know, it looked like New York City. You've seen these things in New York City, like downtown, you know, where the people are just walking this way and walking this way. Speed it up. That's what it looked like, speed it up. Running, and nobody running into each other that I know of. As some fella come across through here and cleared that first pew and spun in midair and wound up sitting right in his seat. I never seen nobody. He could have killed himself. You say at church? Hey man, we got a lot more to shout about than, hey, I've seen people do worse than that for the Panthers and they ain't even no Panthers yet. They ain't gonna be no Panthers for 2 years. I've seen people act a fool. We got it! We got it! Shut it! Ah! Calm down, son. The psychiatrist office will be open tomorrow. You're gonna be alright. Looky here. We're gonna walk on Gold Street. Hey, buddy. There's a big fire burning down there in hell, and we don't have to go! Hallelujah! Brother, we ought to shout the house down every now and then. Worship! Worship! We'll keep the fire burning in your life. Somebody told me they seen one fella. He's from up north somewhere and he never seen nothing like that in his life. They said he's sitting back in there somewhere and he's just watching it. And there's only one thing better than watching it. That's doing it. He's sitting over there. They said he's back in there somewhere. They said they could tell he's getting a blessing. I mean, he's like crying. He's going... He's just watching everybody shout, you know, and everything. They said in a minute, he stood up and he sat back down. They said about 2 or 3 minutes, he stood up and he sat back down. And they said he done that 2 or 3 times and then finally went, woo! He finally got in on it. You know what it's like? It's like a bunch of people swimming. You know, and a lot of times people come down there and put their toe in and say, whoo, that's cold, I can't stand that. But it sure does look like fun. You ever seen kids playing out in the mud? My wife said she saw some kids yesterday on the bus route with their shoes off and everything, just playing in the mud. Now your natural reaction is, yuck, you know, but don't, that makes you want to do that, don't it? I mean, just jump in, man, head over heels. And that's what you need to do with the Lord. Just worship Him. It'd be good for every one of you people. I'm talking about you and you and you and you and you and everyone. Sometimes just to stand up and wave your hand. Say, thank God He's been good to me. He's been good to me. Right quickly, one more. I'm going to have to hurry. Witness. Word of God, worship God, and witness for God. You'll do them three things every day. Fire burn your life. Witness when you don't feel like it. Keep a burden. You say, Brother Danny, I don't want to witness. The less you want to witness, the more you need to. You know what I do sometimes? Somebody pass me, a little voice inside will say, give that person a tract. Witness to them. And if I say, nah, they're probably already saved. So I know I'm backslid when I think like that. That's right. Get you a handful of tracts. Witness. When you run into somebody, I take them things to the airport, them little no water and hell stickers. I believe I got some right here in my Bible. I believe in my other Bible. Man, I take them things to the airport. They're about that big. You can take them to the water fountain. I'm going to Texas Thursday, Lord willing. And I'll take some with me and I'll stick one of them on that water fountain. There'll be no water in hell. You see this guy come out, you know. He's a big businessman, big hot shot from New York, you know, or going to California or somewhere. He goes over there and bends down. Just like, blah! There'll be no water in hell. Bend down there and get him a drink of it. And I think, man, let it haunt him, Lord. Let it haunt him. He sat down on the airplane. There'll be no water in hell. There'll be no water in hell. There'll be no water in hell. You don't know how. You know why these bus workers sometimes get fired up? These preachers going out preaching on the street? Because witnessing for God keeps that fire chunked up, keeps it stirred up. Gives you a chance. It's like sticking that poker in that fire and shifting that wood around and messing with it. And that wind blows on it. It'll keep a fire burning your life. Some of you in here this morning, the only reason you're here, and I know this now, some of you in here this morning, the only reason you're here is because it's Sunday. And this is your duty. There's so much more than that. There's so much more than that. If it's gotten your life to where you just go to church just because it's Sunday, and that's been your manner of life for so many years, you've let the fire go out in your life. You ought to get down here this morning, get you a handful of tracts, get you a handful of tapes, and say, Lord, it may take a while because the devil's put the fire out in my life through discouragement or through disappointment. I want the fire to burn. The wind that starts a fire, the water that stops the fire, and the wood that sustains the fire. Let's stand and bow our heads for a word of prayer. Every head bowed, every eye closed. We're going to take just a minute here this morning and ask you a question. How long has it been since the fire burned in your heart? Would there be those this morning to say, preacher, I need to get on that altar this morning. I need to get my eyes off people and off preachers and off my brother and off my sister, off my boyfriend and off my girlfriend. I need to get right with God. I want to get right with God. I want God, the fire of God, to burn in my life. Why don't you just get out of your seat? Come on, everywhere. No matter where you're sitting, back there in the back, let's take a minute here. Let's take a minute here and get on this altar. That's right. Come on, just begin to come from all over the building. All over the building. How long has it been? How long has it been since you really just said, God, I want to fall in love with you and your word? You don't have to go on living like you're living. You know what you're doing? You're trying to figure out all your problems and straighten it out all yourself. It ain't never going to happen till you give it to Jesus. Thank God for the many, many that's coming already. Many's coming. Maybe it's you. Maybe the fire ain't burning in your life. Why don't you come? Why don't you come? Young people, maybe you've never been saved here this morning. You're not saved. You don't want to go to hell when you die. You want to go to heaven. Why don't you just come out here? Come on, get down on your knees. Get your heart right with God. Father, please do what ought to be done in our lives. May the fire burn in our soul. Thank you, Lord, for that wind that we've had blow through here this week. Glory, hallelujah. Hallelujah, thank God. Lord, may it continue to burn. And in days ahead, brighter and bigger than ever before. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's sing, Brother John. Let's sing. Let God speak to your heart. Let God speak to your heart, friend. Come on, you need to come right now. Come on, let's sing. Amen. Amen. Let God speak to your heart, friend. Amen. Let God speak to your heart. Help me, somebody. Please. Amen.
Everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace will.
Let God speak to your heart this morning. Let God speak to your heart. Come on, move right now. Come on. Yes, let God speak to your heart. How long has it been since the fire burned in your life? Come on, move. Everybody sing. Come on now, sing. All right, let's sing. Everybody sing now. Come on. Sing it loud now. Sing.
Are we
happy? Happy. Sing. Amen. How about it this morning? Fire burning in your life. Come on.
Thy friends despise, forsake.
Yes, thank God.
Take it to the Lord.
Amen. 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 You pray now. Pray. Pray that God will help us. Our heads for a word of prayer while these are still praying this morning, getting things right, getting things settled. And you tell God what you need to do this morning. Say, God, I need to start reading my Bible. I need to start praying. I want the fire to burn in my heart. One Sunday morning service a week ain't going to keep the fire burning in your life. Won't do it. The devil's got too many things out there to put it out. You say, well, praise God, preacher, we got on fire for God during camp meeting. Well, don't you forget, you got to keep chunking that wood on there. Every day. Bible told that priest, every morning, the priest had to put that wood on that fire. Every morning. Every morning. You got to do it too. Every morning, get that Bible out and read it. Every morning before you go to school. Every morning before you go to work. Don't leave the house without throwing a log of the Word of God on the fire place of yours. You say, I'll wait till I go to bed tonight. Yeah, the fire will go out sometime during the day too. That's why you used to get up early in the morning. The floor would be so cold back in the early day because that fire went out during the night. Nobody kept wood on it. You got it settled? We're going to pray. Father, do what ought to be done in their hearts. Dear God, thank you for these that have come. Lord, help them. May the fire continue to burn in their life. Please, Lord, do it. Do it for Jesus' sake. In His name we pray. Amen. Amen. Just a second before you go.